Okay, welcome to this edition of Seat of Your Pants, and I've got news for you all. We are really, really, truly going to be flying by the seat of our pants on this episode because, well, I mean, I don't know. It's a style, but it's also probably, you could chalk it up to our laziness.
We usually chat for a minute or two, but you just hit that record button out of the gate.
I love it, you know, just when you're like thrust into the spotlight and it just, you know, you just do whatever the fuck you got to do to survive.
It's the best way.
That's right. So, my name is Jay. I'm your host of Seat of Your Pants. Joining me as always is Mistress Kai. How are you?
Hello. I have something to tell you after we get rolling.
Oh, yeah? Mm-hmm. What do you got to tell me? Tell me now. Hit me with it.
Okay. So, do you remember a while ago I told you we have some fans? And I said, oh, I'll tell you down the road, you know what they're calling themselves. You know what? I don't even know if I told you. I might have dreamed that shit.
Oh, my God.
But I know I wanted to wait until the show. I didn't want to just, like, text you. So, I have these friends that in real life friends that I've been, you know, gallivanting around in dungeons for years, and they're a poly family. So they told me what they do is when we drop an episode, they order some pizzas and they all sit around and drink beer and listen to it. And I was like, you do? And they were like, yeah, you know, we're your friends, but like now we're your fans. And I was like, you are? And they said, yeah, we call ourselves your panties.
Nice.
And I'm like, okay, that's great, because I haven't worn panties since like seventh grade.
Wow.
Right?
That's useful information. Gotcha. Okay.
So I've been wanting to tell you that we have fans and they call themselves our panties.
You know, I love that. And it's like, if I accidentally spill a glass of water on them, it'll make them wet panties.
But I'm
I'm here all night. So I want to get to our guest. We've done absolutely zero prep work other than the fact that she's a part of babestation.tv.
Yes.
And I mean, I'm like super out of it. I was in Europe a few weeks ago and I'm back and I'm just, I mean, I look as fucked up as I really am right now. So without further ado, I would like to introduce, and you came very highly recommended, so I'm super stoked to be interviewing you today, Amber. Amber Page, everyone. That's ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, Amber Page.
Big round of applause, Amber Page.
Hi, everyone. Clapping, what's that backdrop music you put in? That's what we need. We need that for our guests.
Sound effects?
Is that what it is? Look, you might have been traveling and you have an excuse for being like derp. I don't.
All right. Well, Amber Page, thank you. And I'm pronouncing that right, am I?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, Amber Page.
Awesome. So Amber Page is joining us. Your primary platform is babestation.tv.
That's it, yeah, Babe Station.
And do you typically perform with one or two other ladies? You have kind of like your own little squad?
Yeah, we have like, we call ourselves Baywatch. Yeah, so it's me and two of the other Babe Station girls, April and Megan.
Nice.
So
nice.
Yeah, I think you're going to be interviewing them at some point as well, so that'll be good.
Yeah, you know, we just kind of do things haphazardly. I'm sure we'll get to them sometime, either later this year or early next. Let's jump straight to your humble beginnings here, Amber Page. Tell us, and first of all, it's great to see you. I mean, I had absolutely no idea what I was walking into at this point.
Surprise.
And yeah, no, this is great. I'm looking forward to this. You know, let's just jump into it. Tell us how you got into this industry, and then we're going to get to some, like, you know, real meaty questions.
Yeah. Okay, cool. So I've been at Babe Station for like 2.5 years now. Yeah, so it's gone quite quick. I sort of started during lockdown, sort of how I started into it. I had some free time. It's always been an interest of mine. Always wanted to get into it, so I thought I'd give it a go. And yeah, I just loved it. I didn't stop.
What is, terrific. We should tell our listeners what Babe Station is.
Yeah, so yeah. It's like, it's a TV channel mainly, but it's also got like a webcam side to it. So yeah, I go on TV and just have... Well, during the day, it's sort of like normal calls, like just chatting, just friendly calls. And then during the night, it gets a little bit naughtier.
Nice. But yeah, it did. It started out as basically like an online TV station.
Yes, that's it.
And it's grown into a conglomerate where, you know, there's camming and there's all kinds of other things involved.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, like, I mostly just do the camming side of it rather than the TV. I prefer the cam side. So that's where I'm mostly, like, on a radio station, the cam side. During nights, I mainly do.
Now, let me ask you this, just because it is UK-based. Is it primarily UK-based fans, or is it significant, like, everywhere?
Yeah, it's mainly UK fans, yeah. So I also have, like, an OnlyFans, which is where I get my other, you know, like, the American fans and any other sort of, like, countries. But Babe Station-based only is majority UK, yeah. I feel like Americans don't really know what Babe Station is.
I would imagine that once, like, our listeners hear your voice mm-hmm. and you have more exposure in the United States, you're going to pick up a lot of business because people love a British accent. And then if you're talking a little bit naughty, you know,
it gets better.
Yeah, I've noticed definitely. That when British babes talk, no matter how, you know, rude, angry, disgusting, what have you, mm-hmm. that they're saying, it still has that air of class to it, you know?
I was trying to put together a list of really awful words to ask her to say. because you're exactly right. Like, they could be saying the most awful thing and it just... it's almost musical.
You know, it just sounds good.
So pretty. Yeah.
Well, I mean, in the UK, the C word is just bandied around like it's just, you know, everyday lingo.
Yeah, it does, to be fair. It does. Yeah.
It is.
A lot of coolers actually like that. A lot of coolers actually like the girls saying that. Yeah, they do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I say it a lot in my house, too.
Do you?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like it is thrown around a lot over here. It's not the stronger word it used to be.
Well, it means so many different things. It's not just a derogatory term for the female, you know, genitalia. It can refer to all kinds of things. I mean, it's typically someone who's objectionable. Yes.
Yeah.
But. He wants you to say it. I can tell he wants you to say it.
Yeah, but I'm only going to ask once. That's
can you say it for
you can
him?
Ask.
So he can get of it course. Out of his system.
How would you like me to say it? Do we say a sentence or just say it, the word?
Tell me he's a naughty cunt.
Oh, yeah, you can say it. Sure, say it to me.
Okay. Jay, you're a very naughty cunt.
Oh!
It's so good!
That's excellent.
All right,
that's
a and that'll bite. Be a wrap. Jay's off.
Jay's done. Okay.
I got some business to take care of. So let me ask you this, because you've been in it now since the beginning of the pandemic, like almost exactly since the beginning of the pandemic. Yeah. Was that by choice, or were you kind of pushed into it because you had something mainstream or something that ended because now all of a sudden you can't go to an office?
Yeah. No, so actually, I've always sort of wanted to try it, and it's just never really had the right opportunity. It's quite a risky jump and a big move. But I was actually furloughed from my job, so I had some spare time, and I thought it was the best time to give it a go, try it, and then if I don't like it, don't enjoy it, I can always go back to my other job when that comes up. So I wasn't necessarily pushed into it. It was just the right opportunity, the right time. And yeah, I just took the opportunity, did it. And yeah, I loved it. And I never went back to anything else.
Great.
Did you have an OnlyFans prior to the pandemic, or was that after you made your jump?
So for about six months before the pandemic started, I had that and I was sort of doing it alongside my usual job and keeping it a big secret and sort of having mm-hmm. it on the down low. And I just thought, I really want to do this full time, but I don't know, am I good enough to do it full time? Will I make enough money doing it full time? So yeah, like I said, I had that break from my mainstream job and I was able to give it a go, see if it worked out. And it did. So I just left that, carried on my OnlyFans, started Babe Station, and now I'm on both OnlyFans and Babe Station. They sort of go like hand in hand, so it works quite well together.
Well, how about this? Because, you know, yes, there's a lot of people that live in the UK, but it is a kind of small-ish island.
Yep.
I mean, are you at a point now where people are going to recognize you when you go out?
I haven't had it yet. I mean, no one's come up to me. I don't know if they have recognized me and kept it quiet, but no, I'm still waiting for the day someone comes up and says, hi, Amber.
I mean,
still waiting for the day.
I mean, I kind of have eyes around my head. So if I'm with someone who I know is famous, or I'm in an area where I know people are going to know me, I see the eyes, I feel it, and I know, okay, they know something, or they know who this is, or yeah. I am, or what's up. It's just, it's so funny. Like if I'm escorting a model somewhere, like even if someone doesn't know them, you know, just the sheer look, you know, how hot someone is.
That's what I think it is. I think sometimes I get looks, but I don't know. Do they recognize me? Do they know who I am? Are they just looking? Like it's hard all to sort of tell uh-huh. and judge sometimes.
For sure.
But no one's ever actually come up to me in public and said they recognize me.
Maybe they're intimidated.
Maybe. I'd like someone to say hello to me one day.
Yeah, it's like yeah. the hot girl syndrome where it's like you think that they've got everything going, but everyone's too scared to ask them out or talk to them or yeah. whatever, and they end up dating no one, you know?
It's true. It's very true.
I'd like to say I've experienced that before with me, but no, I don't know.
You know, I had an odd experience like that. I don't, and this was at least 5 or 6 years ago. Mm. And I was at my local courthouse filing some paperwork and handling some things. And I turned to walk out and this guy held the door for me and he said, here you go, mistress. And I thought, how in the world, how could he possibly have known? I thought maybe he saw me at Exotica, but I sort of, I never stopped to ask him what that, I'm curious yeah. how he could possibly, I didn't have any content at the time, so I didn't quite know what, and then I thought, well, you know, maybe he was just making a leap. Because look, I dress the same whether I'm in a kink scene or at the farm with my horses or doing errands. It's like black riding pants, black boots, black t-shirt. So yeah. maybe he was just taking a leap or just being, you know, cheeky or whatnot. But I had that experience one time. I should have stopped and asked him, right? Because now I don't know.
You would never know.
Yeah. Whenever in doubt, just do it. You can always regret it later, but you'll right? always kick yourself if you don't do it.
He took a shot. Like I thought he took a shot and I was like, yeah. good for him. I wasn't interested. I had a lot, you know, I had tunnel vision. I was like doing paperwork. So
yeah.
He took a shot though. So like good for him.
Yeah, good for him.
Yeah.
So let me ask you this because, you know, I travel to a lot of events, Amber. Yeah. I mean, are you, and I see some of the executives at Babe Station occasionally at like the business to business conferences yeah. and stuff. Now, I mean, now that you've been in it for a few years, I mean, are you out there traveling, looking to mix it up with other executive types or other models or fans? Are you pretty much just, you know what, I'm staying at home. This is what's good for me. I mean, where do you think yeah. you're going with that?
So the first year I was just getting settled, getting to know the industry. I was so new to it all. So yeah, the first year was definitely just sort of getting settled in, learning what I was doing, learning the ropes. And now I feel like I'm in a good position and I do want to grow and expand. So I am looking for opportunities, looking to keep growing, meet new people. I collab with a lot of like models around my area, but I've never actually really been overseas or like to collab with anyone else, so that it would be good to keep growing. Yeah, definitely.
Oh yeah, I figure you start getting mixed around other models, you're going to be harassed on the minute with collabs. They're uh-huh. gonna be like, hey, do you work with me, you know? And then you might get someone who's legit, you might not. Chances are though, if you're in any of our circles, at least you're gonna get all legit requests.
Yeah, no, that would be definitely good to just to get exposed. I think it's the hardest thing, it's just networking, isn't it? Once you get into that circle, it's quite easy to then, you know, move around the circle, but just in that initial getting into it, I think that's definitely the hardest part of the job.
So who are you collaborating with now? I think you had mentioned some folks at the beginning.
Mm. Yeah, so a lot of the Babe Station girls I do, and obviously I just messaged like a few other people off of Instagram, like if I see them, Twitter, whatnot. But a lot of the Babe Station models I work quite closely with. Yeah. But then it's hard because we sort of share the same fan base already from being on the same site. So it's good to sort of like get exposure from like new collabs, people you haven't worked with before.
Do you have plans to head over our way anytime soon?
I haven't got any plans at the moment, no, but I probably definitely will eventually soon, some point. Yeah. I think it would be good. It would be good to get over there. I want to sort of have a plan though before I go, of like, you know, who I want to see, who I want to meet with, and then and then get over there. Because I think if deal. I come over now, I'll be like, hello, anyone? Anyone here?
Well, yeah. Do you tend to do more, I guess, for lack of a better way of saying it, more vanilla, you know, kind of like straight adult content type shows? Or are you more, I guess, because the difference between me and Kai is I'm extremely vanilla when it comes down to it. Kai is, you know, like the fetish BDSM queen. So
yeah.
Where do you fit in there?
The queen of mean. Queen. Get it right. Queen of mean.
Yeah.
The queen of mean.
Yeah, no, I definitely try to sort of like dabble in pretty much every fetish really. Especially having that like online platform where you can just sort of just cater for everyone. So I do try to try most things once. I wouldn't say I'm like a queen of any fetishes though. I don't really have like a specific one that I'm best at. I say I'm vanilla because I compare myself to other people's fetishes. Like, you know, when you get requests on OnlyFans, you're like, okay, I'm not into that. So compared to that, I'm vanilla. But no, I do try to make a mixture of content. Like, I think most fetishes you can think of, I've pre got a video for it. And I'm always open to trying new things as well. So I love like getting custom requests and even learning new fetishes. I feel like I'm still learning about things now that I would never even imagined was a thing.
What was it like the first time you got like you were camming and the first time you got a request for something that is sort of outside your
I think the weirdest one and probably one of my first ones as well is when I was on cam and a guy came in and was like, can you spill something over yourself? And I was like, okay, like I haven't got anything here. I've only got a cup of tea. And no. I was like, I'm not pouring a cup of tea down myself. So he was, just pretend then. So I was like, oh my God, okay. This is literally about 3 weeks, I'd say, into being on there.
Yeah.
And I had my cup of tea and I was just on the bed like, oh, it's going to spill. Like it's getting so close. Like pretending to pour this cup of tea down myself. And I was like thinking in my head, should I go back to my, what am I doing? Like, I've just started this job and what am I doing? Uh-huh. So I'd never even thought that was a thing. Like spitting things over yourself. Like I've never been exposed to that before. I've never even realized that's, you know, someone will get off onto that. So that was probably like the one that I was thinking like, wow, there's probably a fetish for literally everything. And I have come to realize that there literally pretty much is a fetish for everything. And yeah, I just haven't really got a specific like kink into like, you know, like you said, like, you know, you like the dominatrix sort of stuff. And I do a lot of videos for that, but I wouldn't say that's necessarily like my favorite thing or like, you know, I just sort of literally
there's
just
so
do
many levels of it. Everything. There's so much. Yeah. The kink umbrella, it's so vast and it's so broad. And then even when you narrow it down to like a femdom like me or, you know, professional dominatrix, even under that, it's so multi-layered and so diverse. You know, I get requests of very simple things like that. I mean, I've gotten requests, you know, can you step on a piece of cake?
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, sure. It's a lot easier than me having to put a whole thing together in my head, you know?
Yeah.
But there's a lot.
Yeah, I squashed like watermelon between my toes before.
Did you really? Isn't that
yeah,
so
Yeah, I was on,
so
I was on cams and I was really? Like, yeah, I was on cams and he was like, can you squash something between your feet? And I was like, I've only got my watermelon for my lunch. So I was like, I can't do that. But he tipped quite a lot. So I thought, I'm going to have to sacrifice a watermelon.
I'll buy myself another watermelon.
I'll buy another watermelon, right, exactly.
So I was like, okay, fine. So I got a watermelon out my lunch. And just squeezing it with my toes on cams. Yeah.
I mean, you know, stuff like that, I find it interesting, funny, you know, what have you. It's just like, you know, I like stuff that's weird and different, but... Yeah. I mean, like, sexually, it doesn't do anything.
No, that's the thing.
But,
that's
I mean,
what
that's
I say.
The thing
like,
that I don't get, which is what makes me such a freak compared to Kai, I guess.
Because you're not a foot guy, but to a foot guy, you know, that's a whole community.
The
feet stuff about the length of the toes and the arch and the this and the that, and then the smushing of things. That's a whole like. Another community thing. Over there. Mm. And, you know, they need that to get off.
Yeah.
So
they need it.
Yeah. I mean, they fetishized it. So they needed to, they needed to get off. So when they're done, they're going to log off with camming with her and go, you know, spank off.
Yeah. Yeah. That's it. I mean, like, yeah. That's, and that's why I think I'm so diverse, because one guy would get off on me squashing watermelon and then the other one would be getting off on me, I don't know, throwing into kicker's balls or something. Like, mm-hmm. they're all so different. So different. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
See, the thing with me is, it's like, I would rather, if you're going to squash it between your toes, like, you know, I would like to see that in person, and then you do it into a glass, and then I drink the watermelon.
Uh-huh.
Like, that would be cool, you know?
And that's a whole different thing right there, because there's like a little bit of a humiliation factor to it, you know, because I squish it with my feet. Now drink it, motherfucker.
Yeah. You drink know? It, exactly.
Yeah.
Make him drink it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. But I've always been into stuff. Ever since I was a kid, it's just like, you know, someone's going to dare me to do something. And, you know, yes.
I think you're a lot freakier than you maybe not admit, because you're sort of like, yeah, I'm down for anything.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I think you're a pretty freaky guy.
I guess I'm more of a crowd pleaser than anything else. So it's like, if it's something that somebody wants, you know, I like to deliver.
You're
so
definite exhibitionist, like clearly 100%. I mean, I love taking exhibitionist like subs to parties, because they're so much fun. They'll do anything and they're entertaining, and then they're fulfilled too. They enjoy.
Yeah.
Well, you know, let's say here, Amber, would you consider yourself more dom or more sub?
I don't know. I think I'm literally like 50-50. I think it depends on the guy. I think if I had a guy come into cam that was very, very submissive, then I like taking that position of dom. But then I also do get off on me being submissive. So
you're switchy.
Yeah, I am. Mm-hmm. I am very switchy. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just like the guy to sort of like take the lead and see where he's going with things. Yeah, I think I like when like I get guys off. So I think it depends on what they get off to, I suppose.
That's a little dummy, because that's a power exchange, and you're enjoying their submission and having control and leading, you know.
Yeah.
That's some dummy traits. Yeah, you sound like very, you know, right in the middle switchy.
I am. Yeah, literally am. I think, and I can literally switch from like back and forth. Like I'll have like a cam session, like being really submissive and him being really dominant. And then literally like the second that call ends, I might get another call where actually he wants me to be dominant, and I can literally just switch back up and like, yeah, like me.
Well, I got to tell you this. I mean, not to change the subject or anything. You got a great fucking voice. Like your voice. It's just
right?
I can understand everything you say, which is great.
Good.
Because there's a lot of times if someone has a really thick British accent, I have trouble with a few words. I mean, I had a friend who was like all Cockney rhyming slang. He was from like the East End and stuff. Half the time I'd have a conversation with him and I'd just smile and nod and not have a fucking clue what he was talking about. But I can understand you completely. But yeah, you got a great voice.
Oh, good.
Very smooth. It's not, you know, some British accents, I guess just like American accents, some of them are hard and choppy, but then like if you go to North Carolina, South Carolina, it's very like smooth, and yours is very smooth. I would imagine a lot of the auditory fetishists probably come on to you, like to your cam.
That's one thing I haven't tried.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's one thing I haven't tried yet.
You would be really successful at that over here, because like I was saying about the accent, even if you did auditory clips on like Clips for Sale and those other sites.
Yeah, I should try that. It's one thing I've been thinking to try for a while. Because I do listen to like some videos when it's like, yeah, I think I could do this. I could.
Yeah, I mean, like you could read like a really hot, sensual story, you know, and just put yourself into it and everything like that. But thing is, you know, I think people would want to see her at the same time.
She's so beautiful, of course. Oh,
thank you.
Exactly.
So I have to ask you a question, because I'm old and my eyes suck even with these dollar store reader glasses. Is your hair purple? Is that a reflection off of the lights in your room?
No, it's a reflection. Yeah, I've got like dark, just like really dark black hair.
I wasn't sure if you had like, you know, like deep rich purple highlights going through.
No, it's just I've got some pink lights up, so yeah.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask you this. Like, what kind of you know, just from your own personal life, what kind of things do you like to do? Are you into different sports? Are you into different kinds of music? Are you into gardening? What kind of stuff do you like to do as a person?
Definitely not gardening.
Okay.
So I enjoy going to the gym. I'll go to the gym quite a long time, but I'll go over like with my friends and I'll do like a workout and then I'll go for a swim, like play some tennis, have lunch there. Like I just like being active. So yeah, I do that. What else do I like? Pole dancing. Yeah. So I've never done like stripper or anything before. I've just never really tried that side of things. But I do like the pole dancing at the studio. So yeah, I do that. And that's about it, really. Just being active, like going on dog walks. Like I'm not one to sit around and not do anything. I can't remember the last time I sat on my sofa and just chilled for a bit.
You're very physical. That's yeah. a good thing. Yeah.
Yeah. You could probably feature dance, right? Okay. Yeah. Because you enjoy it. So you're probably really good at it simply just because you enjoy it.
Yeah. 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 I think so. Yeah. I don't know. I feel like I prefer being like on cams and like in the in-person side of things. That's why I just never, I don't know, some aspects of like stripping do appeal to me. And I mean, I've been to strip clubs before and I'm like, yes, go girls. Like I could do this, like loving it. But then I think actually, I think I'd rather be in my own space. And
you've had a taste of the good life in that, you know, you have your own room, you got a camera and a lens that separates you from these greasy, sweaty dudes. You know?
I've heard some horror stories from my friends that did it and I'm like, I don't think I can do it.
Yeah, they're kind of brutal in person.
Yeah, I think.
Depends on where you're at. I mean, you know, you can go to some of these high-end clubs, you can make insane amounts of cash. I mean, this is like pre-pandemic. I've known plenty of dancers who've worked at some high-end places in like Vegas. Yeah. You know, or overseas, like they'll be sent to Tokyo or Dubai or something like that. Just the amount of, you know, there obviously there's other things going on at play, you know, but, you know, money is money and I don't judge. So,
no, exactly. That's the thing. I think the more money the guy has, the more they think they can do in a way. You know, I think that's one of the problems, isn't it? Like when you start going to the more high end clubs, the ones that have got the guys with the money, they're always expecting. You know, they can just buy anything.
Yeah. Here's $20,000. I own you for the next 48 hours.
Yeah.
Literally.
I wanted to ask you, since this whole lifestyle and this type of work is newer to you, and what type of advice would you get? We've had a lot of listeners that are newer to the industry.
Yeah.
And, what type of advice would you give as far as navigating and how you've navigated since you started?
Yeah. So I think for me, it's been quite different because I've sort of had that helping hand of Babe Station, which is already like a platform with an audience and with support. I think the biggest thing and the biggest advice I'd give is to get yourself into a group of girls. I think having that support, especially can be so lonely, like just literally being at home in front of a screen all day, even just doing OnlyFans, like always filming videos on your own, like messaging guys online, like it can be very isolating. It's not as if you're in an office with a group of people or you go out and see people. So I think that's one thing, just having that support, just trying to get, just network with girls that are already doing it. Just so you have someone to chat with that knows. And then just advertise yourself everywhere you can. Like TikTok's a massive thing now, so I've got like multiple TikToks because they get deleted and then I'm like, oh, I've got backup, don't worry, I've got another backup. Advertise yourself everywhere, create a little network, create a little circle, collab with people wherever you can, because it's like good content for your page, but then also like exposure. I think that's it really. Just like set yourself boundaries and don't think it's easy. I think that's the hardest thing. A lot of girls especially see like successful people, see documentaries, think, oh my God, this is going to be amazing. I'm going to be able to make this much money and I'll do this. And they post these pictures that they look amazing. They look fire. They're like, yeah, I'm so hot. Let's post these pictures. And then they don't make the money. And then it gets like disheartened and you're like, why am I not making the money that she's making? Like, you know, do I not look that good? Do I not, like, am I not as good as her? And it's got nothing to do with that. It's literally just she's just work. You don't see the work that goes into it sometimes.
And there's a whole back end that of admin that people don't understand. You know,
yeah.
You're an office manager and you're marketing and sales and you're the bookkeeper and all the things you're doing, you're editing your photos. Like, there's all this back office work, the very unsexy part of all of this. And a lot of people don't understand that.
Yeah,
whose dog is that? That sounds really cute. Whose little monster is that? Is that yours, Jay?
Yeah, that's mine. I'm using the microphone. This is where real life once again plays a role in everything.
Yeah, but it's okay.
I don't
okay.
think there's an episode that happens without my
right, that's
dog.
What I'm saying. I was actually waiting for our mascot to come strolling in. Usually he's here by now. Oh, he's there? He's got this cat that like stalks him. I always see the cat in the background and he doesn't. Where is he today?
Locked the hell out. So,
yeah. Poor guy.
They'll get plenty of time later. So no, there's no animal abuse or anything like that going on. Okay. But yeah, I needed some cat-free zoning going on, you know, this time around. You know, I got to say, Amber, I mean, at this point in time, I probably, you know, of the thousands of people that I know in the industry, because it really probably would be that number, as many as 20 or 25% have been in it for about the duration you have or shorter, you know, which is a lot of people. You know, a lot of people get into this industry. They'll give camming a try for a few months here and there. And then the vast majority of them will be discouraged and then they'll be gone. You know, and then another problem that I see is a lot of models have a consistency issue. They'll either not be on at the same time all the time or they just will, some reason, they will not see a consistency in their placement on their platform page when visitors are coming or fans in their room or anything. And they'll be doing the same exact thing every time. And it's frustrating to them because they'll have, some days will be $1,000 days. Other days, you know, they'll be lucky if they make $100. And it's, you know, I don't know what to say other than, you know, just keep at it. If you've enjoyed a good taste of, you know, success, it's going to happen again.
Yeah, that's definitely a I think it's so easy to get disheartened, especially when you're selling yourself, like you are the product. And then it's like, if you're selling something else, you're like, oh, you know, it's, you don't feel as bad because it's, you know, but when it's literally yourself that you're like, why is no one buying this? Why is no one, why am I not making money off this? It does get disheartening, but you just have to keep going and mix up what you're doing, or if it's worked before, you know, keep trying that. It goes in waves. It does. I think like, I've never had a consistent day or week where I've gone like every week I've made this much money, or I've had this many cam sessions, or had this many sales on my page. It's so up and down. And yeah, just be consistent. I think that's literally the key thing.
I think that's the key thing too, that there's a consistency. And they even say that in advertising with ad placement, you don't have to like spend a ton of money out of the gate, but you can have a smaller ad and just consistently boop, boop, boop.
Yeah.
And then people know it's there. They know what to expect. They know what's going to be there. But like you were saying, and I've seen that a lot as well, where you're making a ton of money one day and then you have a dry spell for 10 days and you're like, is it the pictures? Is it this? And you might have some bomb ass pictures that you think you look fantastic. And it's just not working out. So you put them up another time and then all of a sudden you're making a ton of money, or you're, you know, it's cyclical, but the consistency is, I think the key factor, if anybody's listening to me, is the key factor is the consistency. Jay, I know you've probably seen this over and over and over and over again. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah.
I mean, I see so many people give up and I'm like, and there's like a randomness to their participation in what they're doing. And I'm like, if you just stick with it and have like the, even if it's every Monday, you're going to put something up on every Monday.
Yeah.
Well, also,
I think being prepared is a key thing as well. Like, just make sure like you've got your, you know, you have something planned. This day you're doing this and this day you're doing this. And I think a lot of people, I mean, fair enough, if you want to get in and just sort of get by and just make average money, then you can sort of have a really relaxed view to it. But if you want to make the like big money and the potential that's there in the industry, you have to be prepared and you have to like treat it like a full-time job. It's not part-time. It's not. I think a lot of people think, oh, OnlyFans or camming, I just log on, do what I want to do, log off, or on OnlyFans, like, take a few videos, sell to, and thousands mm-hmm. will sell. That's not how it works. Like, it is like full time. And like, yeah, set yourself days. So, like, on Monday, I'm going to do just social media content, TikToks, Twitter pictures, Instagram. On Tuesday, I'm going to YouTube video. Wednesday, I'll do OnlyFans content. Thursday, like, it's like scheduling that and being prepared, I think, is a really important thing as well.
Yeah, see, I mean, you totally get it. And, you know, mm-hmm. when people say it's full time, I mean, it's like, it's full time. I mean,
it's full time.
At the end yeah. of the day, you know, you're going to be on cam or creating content, you know, a minimum of 30 or 40 hours a week. So, I mean, yeah. there's just the work portion of it or the product version of it.
Right.
When you're talking all the promotion and everything else that you have going on, you can almost double that number.
Yeah. And then fitting lifestyle into it as well. Like going to the gym, going to get your nails done, getting a spray tan. That's all part of the job as well, actually. And it's just trying to fit all of that in. Like, yeah, it's nonstop. It is, but it's worth it. You know, if you do it right, it is worth it. Yeah.
So should we talk about, I mean, it's only been about what, 24 hours since it was announced that the Queen passed away.
Yeah.
Right. So I was curious coming into this today, where you stand on the royals, because, you know, I have some friends over there and some are very like, the royals are it for them, you know, and then others are like.
Yeah, I think it is very divided, very divided. And I think,
I mean, as long as you feel comfortable talking about
this. Oh, yeah, that's fine. Okay. Yeah.
Because we don't edit anything out unless right? there's like some sort of a threat made or something that's career ending.
This is a massive disaster. It's staying in.
It's in. So, okay,
yeah, go. Yeah, no, it's fine. I think it's very, very split and divided over here. I think the younger generation are very like, not bothered, you know, like.
Yeah.
And I think that's coming from like, just there's so much going on in this country at the minute. Like,
right.
I mean, there's such like, the economy is like terrible. Like energy prices are ridiculous and got a new prime minister the other day. Like it's also like up and down at the minute. And I think the younger generation don't really see or like the royals as an important figure anymore. Whereas the older generation used to like, you know, they were like, all for the royals. They would mm-hmm. love, like they're loving them.
Yeah.
Thought so highly of them. And I think just over the generations, it's just sort of like, I don't know, almost like, yeah, their importance is sort of like, I don't know, getting less and less, I think, in society. It's really weird. It's just sort of like, they're just becoming less and less. I don't know. It's weird. I mean, there is definitely like a, It is sad, definitely. And mm-hmm. I think everyone can agree, like, it's a sad when, in like, you know, especially when you lose such an important figure for the country. But
what I was curious about, I think I probably phrased it wrong, but I was sort of curious because, you know, our news stations, you know, they serve things a certain way. And I was curious as to what maybe you thought was like actually happening over there and how people felt or how, you know. Because I understand exactly what you're talking about. There's that sort of older generation, younger generation.
Yeah. And don't get me wrong. Some younger people are still very patriotic. And I mean, there's like the scenes outside of like Buckingham Palace and things at the minute where like there's literally crowds and crowds of people. And I know some young people that have gone there and paid their respect. Mm-hmm. But again, I just think, and I think it's as well, people's background as well. Like I feel like people that are struggling at the minute. Cause I mean, there's such a, like, there's a thing at the minute. There's so many people that are struggling over in the UK. I'm sure it's the same as America, right? Like, I don't know. Have all your prices gone ridiculously high for everything? Yeah, like,
it's pretty stupid over here.
Yep, pretty stupid.
Mental. Yeah. And I think at the minute, like, the thing is, it's like, we'll get these energy bills that are absolutely ridiculous. Like, they're saying it's like all-time high. It's never been as high before. And then, like, next week we're getting articles saying that the energy companies are making, like, an all-time high profit. It was, like, 170, like, billion pound profit or something. And it's like, what? And I think people are getting less and less concerned about people that have got power because they're like, actually, why should I? Because I'm suffering so much. And these, you know, so I think that's sort of, like, the generations of people getting less and less light.
I'm kind of a cynic when it comes to shit like this. I mean, I look at it this way. In most societies, the system, at least I see it here in the U.S. for sure, the system is for the most part stacked against the vast majority of people.
Yeah.
And
absolutely.
Unless you're able to figure out how to sink or swim, you are set up for failure in just about anything or everything you do.
Definitely.
Whether mm-hmm. it's career, whether it's medical bills, whether it's trying to just stay afloat in life, whether it's trying to enjoy your life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it creates, you know, first of all, it creates a lot of people who have to be crafty and tricky to figure out how they're going to get from A to B in a system that usually won't allow them to do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think you're so restricted within the system.
Yeah.
And you have to follow those rules. And I think, you have to sort of like work out how there are ways around it. You have to sort of just work out those ways of breaking the system, I suppose, and not being refined by these people.
I mean, that's one thing I've been doing my whole life is figuring out how to get, you know, from one point to another mm-hmm. and doing it my own way. I mean, I've always had a problem with authority. And, you know, one of my major reasons why I ended up in this industry is just because I'm around people who are, you know, for better or for worse, you know, smart like me. They're, you know, creative like me, crafty like me.
Yeah.
And, you know, have been disenfranchised in one way, shape or form or another at some point in their life. You know, not to say that we're all screwed up in one way, shape or form, but the vast majority of us have not led a traditional, typical, you know, trauma-free life.
Yeah.
You know, throughout all of our childhood, there's always going to be the exceptions to that rule. But, you know, that's why I'm where I am and why I think the way I do.
That's why I love our community so much, because a lot of us are like, yeah, I got my flaws. So what? Come on over here and bring your flaws and, you know, we'll hang out and enjoy each other together.
Yeah.
I love that about our community.
Definitely. I think that's what makes us able to do our job as well, because I think it's such a taboo job still, isn't it? Such a taboo industry.
Mm-hmm.
And just because we have that mindset of like being so open, welcoming to everyone, we're like, we just, sometimes I feel like I assume everyone else is like that. And I'm like, yeah, you love that I do like this job. Like, and I remember actually they probably don't, they probably hate it. They're probably like, what is she doing? Selling her pussy online. But yeah, I forget that not everyone's like us.
Mm-hmm. Do you have a lot of friends outside of the industry, or are you kind of so ingrained now that the majority of people you associate with are in it?
No, I actually have like probably half and half. Yeah, so it's quite good. I have quite a few friends from like I went to school with still that I'm still close friends with. They're just very like understanding, and they love it, and they're like, if I had the confidence, if I like, because that's the thing, like, I think the biggest thing is that a lot of people, one, either don't have the confidence to do this job, or they are like, oh, but my family, my this, my that, my, you know, they can't get over that aspect of it. So yeah, all of my friends love it. They're always like, oh, I wish I could be doing the same. I wish I could do that. And it's like, you know, so I've been very lucky that way, that I have got a few friends from school still, and that I've met outside of school that are just so lovely, so supportive. And yeah. And then obviously I've got the friends that I've met, like I said, April and Megan earlier, they're like my best friends at Babe Station. And they are like, we've sort of grown like a little group together, and we're sort of like growing together, and it's nice to see, cause we sort of joined at similar times. So, it's good to have that support. But I've got like, you know, loads of friends that within Babe Station that are, I think it's just because we're all on the same page there. It's so easy to get on with the girls, you know. We all go through the same things. We all have the same experiences, the same challenges as well. So it's just nice to be able to help each other out.
Yeah. I mean, I got to hand it to the organization. Babe Station has struck me, you know, as a very tight, well-oiled machine, so to speak. And, you know, they've been around for a number of years, and they've, you know, expanded. And, you know, it's just the guys that I know there, they're a great group, you know, that run the joint. So,
yeah, definitely. It is. Yeah, it is very good there. And I think because it's not like massive either, as in like, you know, like the studio itself is quite small, and it's quite like, you know, everyone, like, you know, the managers, which is, I think, such a good thing. I think a lot of, I think a lot of big companies, like, you know, that you'll never even see the guy that runs it. You'll never see the, you never have a say in anything, but it is very like it's quite a community feel there, which is it's nice. Yeah, you definitely you don't just feel like another girl. Do you know what I mean? Like I feel like it could have been very easily like that. You could have like just come at this time, do your hours, and then go home, and you'll be replaced next week. Or like it doesn't feel like that. It feels like you are like a member of the family. It's nice.
Great. That's great. Yeah. So while we are kind of coming to that time in the show where we are going to want to wind things down a little bit, you know, allowing for everyone's short attention span, present company included, let me just ask real quick, Kai, did you have any of your really thought-provoking, you know, bordering on absurd questions for this young lady today? Or should we just skip it and give her her plugs?
No, I'm a little scared now.
Let me try to see.
Well, while you're thinking of that, yeah, you think of that, and I would like to give Amber an opportunity to plug herself. Not literally plug herself. Well, if she wanted to.
But see, I was thinking plugs too. So there you go.
Yeah. So tell us how people can watch you, find you, interact with you, Amber. What are your socials and your links?
Okay, so yeah, my Instagram is amber_page_xx. It's been deleted a few times, so I've just got to go with whatever username I can find now.
And it's Page, P-A-I-G-E.
That's it,
so Page, Amber _PAIGE_XX.
That's it, yep. And my website's amberpage.co.uk.
.co.uk, okay.
Yep, and then I'm on Babe Station TV. So it's like babestation.tv on the website. And I'm on there like and three nights a week. It's sort of all different nights, but keep looking out and I'll be there. Yeah, usually three nights a week I'll be on.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I just want to give a quick plug to our sponsors. I don't know, I just kind of pick it randomly from time to time now here, but I think this week we're going to praise Sugar Bounce and Cherry.tv for your support of the arts. So, did you have a question, Kai, or are we just going to...
No, I don't, because no matter what I ask, her voice is so lovely and her accent is so beautiful.
So, what you're saying is we're going to end this episode.
We're going to end it.
We're going to end it with dignity.
With dignity and a little bit of class. She brought us a little bit of glass today, which we don't normally have, so let's just end it on that.
You glassed it up. So, thank you very much for joining us this week, Amber Page. Thank you, as always. Absolutely.
And, nice to meet you both.
Kai, it's always great to have you as well.
Good to see you too. Amber, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me. Thank you very much.